A slightly different calling home this morning at 7:45. We talked to Kiwis living and working overseas. Mike Hall lives in New Zealand some of the time, but we think he qualifies because he spends long periods overseas in many corners of the world, and he's a pilot for the New Zealand aviation company Airwork, which does business around the globe. And in Mike's case, a lot of that business is humanitarian. This year, he's been in Mozambique in the wake of the Cyclone Idai disaster. He had two helicopters under his command at Beira, which was ground zero for that cyclone. Let's talk to Mike. Mike Hall, you're in Croatia. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Very well.
Yes, I am.
What are you doing in Croatia out of interest? Because I know that you've been spending a lot of time in Africa, which we'll talk about, but are you on holiday?
Yes, I am at the moment. Met up with family through London. I came up from South Africa. They came up from New Zealand, and we're just having a little bit of downtime at the moment, which is good.
Oh, that'd be lovely. What are your impressions of Croatia as a sort of holiday destination out of interest?
It's a pretty amazing place and becoming more and more popular, but I think probably the more interesting thing is that it's got a fair bit of history through the last 100 years or so, and it's had its ups and downs, and we find that pretty interesting. It's always good to come on holiday somewhere with a little bit of colour.
Yeah. Well, you get a lot of colour in your own life. You've been flying commercial aircraft, I believe, for more than 30 years. When did you start supporting the humanitarian efforts around the world?
Well, I joined Airwork, which is an Auckland-based company, 14-odd years ago, and I guess it's a mix of work. They don't necessarily specialise in humanitarian work. They have quite a range of offshore operations at times, and the area I work in ranges from leasing aircraft to full turnkey operating solutions. That could be to humanitarian organisations, or it could be to mining resource companies, emergency service work, and that can occur in quite a variety of locations around the world. So you're never quite sure what's coming up next.
And you presumably fly a variety of aircraft too?
I do. Probably within the last 10 years or so, I tend to be sort of more at the back end in terms of organising and putting these things together with the assistance of quite a big team. Obviously, with the short notice of some of these contracts, and Mozambique was a classic in terms of getting pilots and engineers, et cetera, in one place within a short time span. You just got to jump in the seat yourself until you can get the appropriate resources in place.
Of course. Let me get back to Mozambique. But you say your family's come up from New Zealand to join you in Croatia. Where are you originally from in New Zealand?
I was an Invercargill boy.
Ah.
Good old grounding, South Island.
Yep.
And we shifted to Queenstown around 5 years ago, which was just a great spot to live and a great spot to be able to come and go on in terms of airlines. It's pretty easy to get in and out of. But I'd probably spend 5 to 6 months away from Queenstown. Obviously, try to keep it on the low end if possible, particularly the last 7 or 8 years as the offshore operations and leasing book have expanded. Tend to spend more and more time overseas as the company's expanded. I mean, Airwork has been around since 1936, particularly the last 10 years, the offshore operations have grown quite substantially.
You've been working out of the place where Cyclone Idai made groundfall, the biggest cyclone the Southern Hemisphere has ever seen, I was reading. Can you tell us a bit about that and your first impressions and what you were getting into there?
Yeah, the reason that particular cyclone was so serious was because it formed over a period of a few weeks and picked up a lot of moisture before it made landfall. And obviously, in countries like Mozambique, there's not a very good warning system. There's very poor comms. Most villages are pretty isolated. And once it made landfall, the initial winds and flooding wiped out a lot of housing and villages and crops. I just happened to be on my way to Africa or South Africa at the time and got a call for medicine. Sans Frontiers, which is the Doctors Without Borders. And so we were able to mobilise a couple of machines out of South Africa. We have a Airwork has a subsidiary in South Africa, and that supported the efforts up in Mozambique.
What does a typical day look like for you when you're in high work mode in Mozambique after a cyclone? What sort of things are you, nuts and bolts things are you doing?
Flying doctors and nurses to set up field hospitals or medical facilities into the villages. There was a lot of assessment across Mozambique in terms of what is needed. It's a pretty vast area, and there was a lot of intel that needed to be gained, and the helicopters were obviously the best way to get around. Medicines that were flown in, the airport in Beira, which is the city that we were based, the airport opened in reasonably good time, which was lucky because cargo aircraft were able to come in from Europe, and so there was a lot of medicine and food and etc. that was able to be flown out across the country. We were also on call for medevac. We were slinging loads into places because some areas didn't have landing zones.
Gee, it's concentrated and important work, isn't it? And there's no shortage of things that can get at you in Mozambique after a cyclone, I imagine, like snakes and the wildlife generally upset. That would be true, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's a pretty difficult country, and from a wildlife perspective, so in terms of keeping our staff safe, there's a lot of work goes into that side. There's a large crocodile population, and of course, because of the floodwaters, they ranged far and wide. Hippos, there's about 7,000 hippos by estimates in Mozambique, and hippos are the biggest killer in Africa, interesting enough.
Yeah.
A lot of poisonous spiders, snakes. Where we were in Beira, it was pretty good, but to the north, there's a few factions. You know, there's the Allied Democratic Forces, which are operating out north. There's some militant Islamic groups as well, but they're quite well north as well. So we do quite a wide assessment. We don't find it too difficult.
Mike, it must be an immensely satisfying work because you can see the difference you are making, can't you?
Yes, you can. I think it's satisfying for the team at large. From a New Zealand perspective, there's 400 staff at Airwork based in Auckland, and so you've got a pretty big team behind the whole operation and a pretty big logistics support. It's pretty easy to see the results.
When you are there in a place like Mozambique for a decent amount of time, how do you pass the time when you're not working?
Good question. There is no time, basically. it's just dawn to dusk. I mean, the flying operation is one thing, but the logistics at each end is another.
Yeah.
I mean, just having a roof over your head, just being able to get water, get food in the evening, get transport is difficult. Not the most pleasant, but one of the things that sort of keeps you going is the humanitarian organisations. You know, they're very enthusiastic.
Yeah.
Got some long, dedicated employees. I mean, Medicine Frontiers that we worked for, I think they've got about 45,000 staff around the world, and you can't help but get caught up in it. And really, it's not just the cyclone that came through, you know, that people have lost their houses, their relatives, whole villages have gone. You've also got the devastation of crops, and so the next couple of years are going to be pretty hard on a fair number of the population. You've got people who survived the cyclone only to get drowned with the floods, and you've got people that survived both those only for the wildlife to come through, and many orphans and many people without extended family. So yes, it's not that great for the population of Mozambique.
No, I think in a restrained way you're describing a terrible, terrible situation, aren't you? Well, you are part of the good people of the world doing what they can to help in these situations. The humanitarian aspect of your work's taken you all over the place, obviously. Do you have to be ready to move at the drop of a hat doing what you do, Mike? It's never certain what's going to be your next posting.
Yes, that's right. I mean, you don't know whether you're going to get a call today or... And it's just sort of followed the disasters around the world. I think the great thing about New Zealanders is, you know, aviation's been the backbone of the country, so we're pretty experienced aviators in New Zealand, and that's the approach that's taken forward into some of these regions.
Out of interest, because you've been flying a long time, and that's involved a lot of helicopters, and you often hear people comparing the well-known brands of makes of helicopter in New Zealand. What has been your favourite chopper to fly over the years, Mike?
It's always a difficult one because often it's who you're working with and the operation that you're working for or supporting that is the most enjoyable. And you can be in the smallest type of helicopter and but be having the, you know, the best input at the other end. We operate quite a few BK-117s, which is a twin-engine aircraft similar to, you know, the rescue services in New Zealand, such as Wellington, etc. And we find that aircraft are very capable, and I enjoy that type particularly.
You must go back right through the old Hughes 300s and 500s and the Jet Rangers and the Squirrels and the Little Robinsons. You've probably seen them all, have you?
Yeah, I learned to fly in the 300, and that was a fair few years ago.
You love doing this, obviously. You wouldn't still be doing it otherwise, but I sense that you really love it and you'd like to get involved with the teams and the good work. Would that be fair?
It's really it's so diverse in terms of the countries that we're leasing or operating in and all the issues that go along with that when you're trying to put your planning in place. You know, it's not just the aircraft and the engineers and the pilots and the custom, but it's also the cross-border issues, you know, customs, tax and getting parts in and out. But it's also the risk assessments, and every country's obviously different. You've got Africa's a very colourful, fascinating place. And some of those countries have done amazingly well when they've come out the other end, out of civil war. You know, if you take Sierra Leone, for example. And I think that's the fascinating thing. It makes you appreciate New Zealand and all our first world problems, of course.
Yeah.
And some of them just pale into comparison.
Sometimes you must think of what's going to happen when you put the joystick down one day or just, you know, retire. Where will you go? Will you go back to Queenstown? Will you miss the travel if you do?
Oh, I think it becomes a bug. It's reasonably hectic and pretty wide-ranging. I mean, as I say, I travel perhaps 4 to 6 months a year, just depending. It would always be hard to settle back.
Mm.
But I look forward to the day when I can take my fishing rod out each day and not have to worry about the working life.
Yes.
Probably what we all dream for, isn't it?
It's a universal dream. That is true. Very good. So tomorrow, it's nighttime where you are. Tomorrow in Croatia, what are you going to be looking at? Are you just kicking back or you've got some sightseeing to do?
No, I'll be looking at the Adriatic Sea. We've got the next few days on a boat. There's I don't know how many islands off the Croatian coast, but I think there's close to 1,000. So
we've
got the next few days on a boat with some fine wine and just pottering around.
I bet you always run into Kiwis. Would that be true?
Everywhere, and I don't know if it's a polite story for your listeners, but obviously, when you're operating in some of these countries, the local food, you need regular laboratory stops. And when we were in Mozambique, and I was way up north where the Zambezi comes out into the... And the Zambezi is the fourth biggest river in Africa, and it flows out to north of Mozambique into the ocean. And when you land anywhere, you're usually surrounded in about 500 locals. So it's pretty difficult to just pop around behind the old local trees. I spied a couple of containers over one of the fences and behind the police station, and popped over there just to see whether there happened to be a loo over there. And it turned out there was a chap from Christchurch running a helicopter base there for a humanitarian organisation. So Kiwis can be found at the most critical of times.
That's a good story. Very good of you to talk with us today. All the best for your future flying and all your and all your adventures. Happy trails.
Thanks very much. Appreciate your time.
It's Mike Hall calling home.